1975, we had two outstanding men move to town. Jeff Snyder and his brother Auger. They were very industrious. And they built, or caused to build, many wood brick places here in town. Mm-hmm. Not only houses, but business establishments. Now, they made their own brick. They made them and burned them. Mm-hmm. And some of the buildings are still standing. In fact, the matter of many of them are still standing. Some of them go down Lock Avenue here where Major Birch built a lovely big home. Wayne Wooten owns it now. Then there's two more houses here on Lock Avenue that are made of homemade brick, where I don't know who lives there now, but Bert Carter used to live one, and Dr. A.W. Brumley lived in one. Now, those are all bricks made here in town. Now, you come on up here and you get the courthouse. It was built in the 80s. All these brick buildings were built in the 80s and 90s. The courthouse. Then you come over, they furnished the brick for that. Then you come over to Wellman's Hardware. Right? Mm-hmm. That's three rooms. They built that. Then up here at a young funeral home, built that. Now, Aug Snyder built his own home out of brick. But Jeff built his out of wood. Both of them are still standing. Those were built back in the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. And the church. Over across on Main Street, up there across from Young Funeral Home, that's made out of bricks that were built here. And that was in the brick area. Now, of course, there were other bricks, brick houses here, establishments, I just can't think of them right off the bat. The old First National Bank was built out of those brick, and where the present Monkey Ward store is now, mm-hmm. there on the corner of Main and Main Cross. That was called the Hackworth Building. Then where the Cox's department store is, up there on the corner of Main and Main Cross. Mm-hmm. That was built out at that time. It's got a sign up there on it, that says 1892. So that building is 80-some years old? 86 years old.
About 86 years old.
Yeah. Now, these were all built 100 years ago. I mean, not quite, 90 years ago. All those buildings that I mentioned there. And the public school, it's got the date on it, the old public school, 1888. Now, that was built out of the bricks of the Snyder brothers. They were both very industrious, and they were both good hard workers, good mechanics. Mm-hmm. Now, after the turn of the century, long in the let's say 1910. I can't pinpoint it just exactly to the year. But concrete blocks come in. Uh-huh. Everybody went to making buildings out of concrete block. Well, now you can go down here back away on the corner of Perry Street and Vincent Boulevard. That's where they built a big concrete building. Well, you can go down here to over on the railroad, across from the old freight depot. There's another one that they built. They used that for storage. Mm-hmm. And up there where they built that first, and that was a livery stable. And also, he had an undertaking establishment there. And then they built several houses up various parts of the town. Out of concrete block. Ernest Shannon done that. He done most of that, building the homes out of concrete block. I'd say half a dozen. Can't pinpoint them all right just in a second, but he built at least a half a dozen. He built big ones. Big houses. Big enough for either floor was big enough for a nice sized apartment, but there's only four bedrooms upstairs, four rooms downstairs, but they were all large. Then, after that, they went into them out of wood. Of course, at first, they were built out of logs. There's some houses around here now that are built out of logs, covered up with weatherboard. Mm-hmm. And they tore one down up here where the Franklin apartment is here 2 years ago, and it had two log rooms in it. And the logs are still good. But they'd weatherboarded them up and made them look different. Now, Professor Byington built the Kentucky Normal College up here in 1908. And he was here for about 20 years. He was a wonderful educator. And he built a big, nice big building up there on brick. But I think he made his own brick, backup brick, and the other brick, I think the outside brick they got ordered a carload of them or something, maybe 2-3 carloads. I don't know how many it took to build. It was a whale of a big building, but they tore it down and then had to build these, what they got up there now, Midland School. Mm-hmm. Set it off there. Tell you what I know about the banks. They're here. Okay. Ready to go?
Right.
18 and 90 or 91, a bunch of the boys chipped in about $5,000 and put in the First National Bank. They didn't call it the First National Bank. They called it Bank of Louisa. And some of the fellows that were in on it was some at that time were some of our prominent citizens, Major D.J. Burchett and Milt Burns, who was an attorney, Alec Lackey, who was an attorney, and Dr. L.H. York, Dr. A.W. Brumley, those were the fellows that all put in and started the Bank of Louisa about 1891. Mm-hmm. Then later on, they changed it from the Bank of Louisa to a national bank and called it First National Bank of Louisa. Mm-hmm. Now that happened around, I don't know exactly when that did happen. Well, when they first started up, the bank did over behind the courthouse in a little brick building they had over there. But later on, they built this other one over here where the First Federal Savings and Loan is right now, mm-hmm. on Main Cross Street. Now, of course, that's grown. Then about 1902 or 3, Bank of Blaine put in after Blaine. Now, just who was the financier in that, I don't know. I have no idea who financed that, but anyhow, it's still out there, 1903. So, I had to make it about 75 years over. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the Bank of Blaine, for quite a while, well, in 1925, thereabout, they come in and they, a bunch of boys from Blaine, George Coons, Charlie Osborne, I don't know who the others were, but there were some of them, others, started what they called the Big Sandy Commercial Bank. It was located up there on Madison Street across from IGA store. I think there's a pool hall in there now, and a so-and-such. That was where the old bakery used to be. Now, that happened in 1924 or 5. See, the LeBaco company went bankrupt and sold out. Mm-hmm. Then, they was up there in 1935. And then, the Louisa National Bank was established in 1905. It's up here on the corner of Main Cross and Main Street, where the First Federal Savings Loan was and where the Monkey Ward store is now. Then that lasted till January 31st, 1942. Then they brought in, back about so many years ago, they tried to start up another bunch of boys up in Paintsville up and down here was going to start up a bank. But some reason or another, they didn't get to. I don't know the details on it. Come down here selling stock, or trying to sell stock. 2-for-1. You pay $200 and got a 100 stock, share stock. Par value is $100. But they wasn't successful at that. And then this, what do you call this son of a man? People's, what is it called?
You're right.
People's Bank or something. Mm-hmm. Now that's a group of boys from up there, Blaine, the Bert, Burton, Harry Burton, and his son John, and whoever else connected with him. They put in up here but on the bypass about 6-7 years ago. And of course, we've had four here in town, two of which are operating. And the one in Blaine, it's operated, it's still going.
Okay.
I noticed in Big Sandy the other day, where Neil Plummer, former professor, dean of journalism down at University of Kentucky, he and I went to school together. Mm-hmm. Back when I could see, in 1920. He was the first man that ever made a radio around here. Ever got the components and assembled them. Mm-hmm. That was in 1922. And he had this all stretched out on a table. And I came home from Louisville, the Vine School. And of course, I went to see him, or he come see me, or something, you know, big buddy. And he took me up there to his house. And we listened on earphones to KDKA.
Right.
We also listened to Arlington Naval Naval Station. Was the issue the correct time all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I bought my first radio in 1924. Little one tuber. Mm-hmm. Used a cell phone battery and a 40. I don't know, it was 22, I believe it was 22 and a half open. Then I've listened to radio. It so happened. I was a great hand to listen to the radio. When he was up here on the other place of business, up here on the street. I heard King Edward, what, 7th or 8th? King Edward VIII, I believe it was. Advocate for the woman he loved. You know, crowning. I was listening to the radio when the dirigible, Von Hindenburg exploded in up at Lakehurst.
Yeah.
That was in 1936, 1937, along in there. Maybe 1938. I was listening to that then. Then I was listening to radio when during the World War II when what battleship was it that scuttled itself down in Montevideo, Uruguay. Yeah. During World War II. Was it the Graspe?
I don't know.
That was one of those little pocket battleships. And they took it out in the harbor and scuttled him. Because the English warships had him surrounded. Mm-hmm. Then I heard Franklin D. Roosevelt's, when he come in on the radio, on December the 7th, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was listening to One Man's Family. And they interrupted the program to tell us that the Imperial Japanese had invaded, had bombed Pearl Harbor. And I heard Franklin D. Roosevelt. Roosevelt's speech for the Joint House of Congress declaring war. And I listened to, let's see, what year was that? Was that 1927 or 20? Long about that time. Listened to Dempsey-Tunney fight. That was back in the 20s and 30s. And of course, I heard the invasion when they invaded D-Day, not D-Day. D-Day when they invaded Europe. And I heard the surrender over in Japan on the mighty moment. I've heard a lot of stuff like that on radio, history-making stuff. I heard the first assembly of the United Nations was held out there in San Francisco when it was formed. That was for, I think that was in April, before they formed the, before the war was over, they formed the United Nations. Well, let's see, I don't know if anything else particular. You got, have you been shut off?
Oliver
1920, we formed a cavalry. Let me see, what was it called? I got my discharge over. No, I got, wait just a minute here. Let's get over. 1920, we had a National Guard, state of Kentucky, U.S. Army. All the boys around wanted to join up. Of course, you had to be 18. But you know, some of us had two and three birthdays all within the course of a day or two. And mine was for one. I was 15, but I joined up in May, I think it was. At the age of 18. So, anyhow, some of the officials that were, we had officers, COs, I got my discharge on December 31st, signed by the Adjutant General. Down at Franklin. Mm-hmm. Our officers up here were David L. Thompson, captain. CFC, Fred C. Let's see.
First How much would a walker cost?
You should have known. We had about, I don't know exactly how many boys we did have. But anyhow, we had some ex-World War veterans, and we had some ex-World War sailors, and we had a bunch of the boys. Mm-hmm. Had this big building down the railroad here where the present sewing factory is, second floor. That was our drill hall. Go ahead. One of our boys got killed up there. how he got killed. And other than that, they stayed up there about a month, I would say. Could be wrong on how long they stayed up there. Mm-hmm. But then that summer, 21, we got in horses. I think we had about 32, 35 U.S. Army horses. And they practiced and prayed around the town. And then went out, they had trouble out to L.A. County. They were having a big murder, some kind of a case out there. So they sent about 20 of our National Guard boys out there. I think that was the time that Gordon Endicott let his pistol go off and shot his first finger off. Then, summer or two, they used to have to go to Camp Fort Knox 2 weeks every summer. Mm-hmm. So they went down there. Fred C. got his hand over the end of a machine gun and took a big long middle finger out of his hand. And other than that, I don't know if anybody ever getting hurt. They kept it around here for Calvary's here about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I think the county was too hard up to feed them. They had a nice barn over here in the back part of town.
I see.
And the 4 or 5 boys over there took care of the horses. And it was a nice setup while they lasted, but it didn't last too long.
Uh-huh.
We didn't need any cavalry here. We didn't need any army men.